welcome to episode 13 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and voiceover trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today we're talking with voiceover talent and creator, producer of the incredible VO Atlanta Conference, which will be held in Atlanta starting this Thursday, Gerald Griffith. I think you're going to get a lot out of hearing about why Gerald created VO Atlanta, as well as ways to network at VO Atlanta or elsewhere that create real connections. Listen in. Gerald Griffith, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me and talk to me about yourself, your career in VO Atlanta. I truly appreciate your time.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
I want to start off by asking, how did you find voiceovers?
Yeah, and I guess media, different things over the years. And I actually was doing more IT work here from home. And I was looking for an opportunity to do something that still would allow me to work from home, mostly, since I kind of get the kids off and back home in the afternoons and things like that. And I don't remember exactly how voiceover crossed my plate, but it did. And so I started looking into it and took a couple classes here in the area. And shortly after that, I started a meetup group to try to meet some more people. And within, I don't know, a couple months, maybe 3 months, there were about 100 people in the group.
Wow. Was the goal to meet clients for yourself or just to connect with other voiceover talent?
It was really just connect with other talent because I had just moved to the area maybe a year and a half earlier, and living north of the city, I really didn't know what resources were available in the city. So I figured if I could meet other talent, then I could, you know, get the inside scoop on, oh, this is a good coach or this is a good training opportunity and things like that, because, you know, otherwise, you're just looking on Craigslist or somewhere and hoping you find a listing instead of people to help you actually navigate it. So that was the strategy. And then after the meetup group really started going, someone said, well, you know, there's so many of us now. Why don't we maybe pool our resources and see if we can't bring in a trainer or someone to help us get training and things. And so I did that the first time around. I think it was around July of 2012 when we did that. And it went well, and then we started doing some other things. I did Blog Talk Radio for a while, where I'd interview presenters from all around the world. And it was just one of those things that started evolving. And then it got to a place where literally I was spending so much time coordinating training and, you know, podcast type talks and stuff that it really got to be, okay, you're going to need to make a decision. Either you're going to spend most of your time coordinating things and bringing resources to the city and things, or you're going to step back from that and try to spend more time auditioning and working on craft itself. And since I've done more coordinating things over the years and I'm more of a support logistician mindset type person, I decided to opt for the planning, coordinating aspect of it.
Very cool. It sounds like, too, you have a little bit of an entrepreneurial mindset.
So you're calling me crazy, right? Yes.
No, I think it's actually awesome.
You have to be a little off the normal path. You know, I think when you're an entrepreneur, because let's be honest, you know, one of the key differences in being an entrepreneur is that you're willing to take a chance where other people are looking for safety and comfort. You recognize that, hey, I want to do something different. I want to get something different than I'm getting out of a 9-to-5 or out of just taking whatever happens to come my way. I'm going to decide to plot my own course and succeed or fail. At least I feel like it was at my own hand versus sitting in a cubicle waiting for the next round of downsizing to happen, or going in one day and finding out your company was bought by another company. You know, all those things that people go through. And I have absolutely nothing against people who have more traditional jobs. But I think if you're a person that wakes up every Monday morning hating what you're about to do for that entire week, then you owe it to yourself to put that energy into something that you at least can feel good about when you lay your head down at night.
VO Atlanta, is that the main conference that you produce every year, or is there other voiceover conferences that you also produce? And what is your goal and hope that people get out of VO Atlanta? So I threw a lot at you.
That's okay. Starting last year, I did a smaller event called VO Intensity.
Okay.
And it's a, I'm trying to think how I really characterize it. It's it's an offshoot, I guess, of the main conference, with the biggest difference being that the main conference has a lot of people interaction and things built into it. It's an experience. It's all about the people. And I often say that I don't plan voiceover events. I plan people events for the voice acting community. Because it's all about the people. And I say the greatest compliment someone could give coming out of VO Atlanta, it would go something like this. I met so many wonderful people. I had such a wonderful time and I learned so much. It would always be about their personal experience first, how they felt about going, and then what they learned on top of that. Because the how they felt about it will go a lot further than the particular workshop they sat in.
So how do you achieve that?
Well, I think I start, even in the planning process, I don't start off with the technical credentials of all my presenters. I somewhat look at the who they are, how they are in the community, how does the community overall view and interact with them? What is their personality? Are they social? Are they more technical? Are they straight-laced business where voiceover is just a job for them? Nothing's wrong with any of those, but we really try to find people who are personable, who enjoy what they do. They enjoy sharing what they do. They enjoy mentoring and coaching other people to be better. So I think I start there, and then I look at their professional credentials, and I think that's the easy part. Mm-hmm. Of looking at it. And I often say that if people come to the conference and all they know about a presenter is what they can read on a website, they failed. So I encourage things like, I have a thing I call finding threads. And a thread is something you find in common with another person that is outside of the obvious. So for instance, you and I have never had this call before. I've never talked to you before. You mentioned in there that you live in Harlem, mm-hmm. Training back to Harlem. Well, I visited Harlem once and met a young lady there. She showed me around. She invited me up. She was like, let me show you around. I had a great time there. So if you and I spent a few moments talking about my visit to Harlem, that becomes a thread, because one of the things you would remember about talking to me was, yeah, I remember having this conversation with Gerald. And he was telling me about his trip to Harlem. It has nothing to do with voiceover.
Right.
It gives you something that you would remember me by that's different than someone who didn't have that experience of going to Harlem.
You look for finding threads, but do you encourage your participants to do that as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a lot of times I'll get people say, well, how many business cards should I bring and all these different things? And I'll say, listen, you can bring as many cards as you like. I encourage you not to give out any until at least, say, Saturday afternoon. And so why do you say that? I said, because if you think about you meeting someone for the first time and interacting with you, if you hand that person a card, just like if you hand them a resume, they can scan at it and they can say, oh, cool, I'll take a look at your website and I'll get back to you if I'm interested. But what do you say after that? You have given them a key to completely shut you down at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So by not giving them a card, what's left? You mean, oh my God, you actually have conversation. You actually interact with that person. You actually talk about something, hopefully of meaning. And it doesn't even have to be voiceover. What you want is them to have something to remember you by outside of the obvious.
So do you give people like a one sheet before they get to VO Atlanta or that suggests, here's some tips on how to network in an effective, non-kind of sleazy way?
Well, what we've done, which is a first in the industry, is we actually have a conference app that people are already networking in. So they're able to build a profile. They can upload their demos to the profile. And so people and agents, directors, whoever, can go into the app once they're registered for the conference, and they can look at the other profiles. They can send messages between themselves and, talk to other people. And then when they're at the conference, they just continue that entire dialogue. And then afterwards, they can continue the dialogue even further. So the conference for me is not just the 4 days that you're there on the ground. It really starts several weeks before you get there, and it should last however long after you left.
Why do you think networking can be so challenging for some talent?
Because I think in many cases, people confuse networking with like going to a job fair.
Mm.
They think it's the end point. They think this is where I get the job. Mm-hmm. Instead of this is where I start the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The job becomes a derivative of the quality of the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other way around. And so last year in my program guide that we do, I actually had a write-up about that. It says, going to a conference or VO Atlanta in particular is not attending a job fair. It's not. And here's the thing I've come to realize. It's not people's fault that they think this way. And there's this inherent struggle I think people have because we're socialized in the school systems in this country to think that the reason we get good grades and the reason we do all these things is so that we can ultimately do what? Get a good job.
Yeah.
Okay. The problem with this is when you're an employee somewhere, you're conditioned, again, to get this good job. And what happens? Most people show up to work. You agree to certain work hours and days. You show up. Someone puts the work in front of you. You do the work. And at the end of the week or day or however the measurement is, you turn in your work and someone says, great job. 2 weeks later, they give you a check, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you decide to be a voice actor, it's now your job to generate the work that you do. Totally different thing. So most people, I think, struggle with making that shift and accepting that it is not someone else's job to bring me the work that I do come Monday morning. It is my job to go get the work that I do Monday morning. And that's why you have a struggle, because most people coming in that I talk to, at least, they have an employee mindset and they're looking for a new boss. That's why you see talent come in. And the first thing they think they want to have is what? An agent. What do they think an agent's role is? To get them a job, to bring them work, right? You want somebody to bring you the work that you then do it. Now, it doesn't make anything wrong with them. It doesn't make them lazy. It doesn't make anything. It simply goes back to that's how we're conditioned as kids, is that we get in a place, someone pays us a certain wage, they give us the work to do, we do our work, we go home, we get a check.
Yeah, and I also feel like, you were talking about how we're conditioned from our society through school, that you go and you get a job, you get these good grades because you're going to get rewarded at the end with a big paycheck. I feel like that's true, as well as, in the 80s and even in the 90s, if you were in the New York market where I am, or the West Coast in LA, if you had an agent, that was the be-all, end-all for voiceovers. Now, with the advent of the internet, you have to have an entrepreneurial mindset and go after the work on your own. It's the agents are not that they don't exist anymore, but there's opportunities that can be had on your own.
Yeah. And when people talk about the internet, sometimes I'll go, you're absolutely right. There's certainly a lot of things that change with the internet, but they typically address it from the standpoint of how the internet took away opportunity from them. And I tend to flip it around a little bit. And I say, well, if you think about it, the internet opened up your marketing opportunity to be anywhere in the world, to now market yourself anywhere in the world. Yeah. So I think people have to be willing to accept that, things change over time and you have to be somewhat flexible to change with it. The nice thing is that you see agents now that are also adapting their strategies. They're coming up with more, alliances, and they're learning that they don't have to be either or about things. It's not all or nothing. It's not me against you. It's if we respect each other and we can work together, yeah, we're going to have our differences. We're going to have our, strengths and our weaknesses or whatever, but that doesn't mean that I'm against you. It just means that, hey, we're both out here to win. We're both out here to compete. And things like that. And I think sometimes in our country, we end up with this all or nothing approach, where it's either I'm going to win and you got to lose.
Right. Very black and white thinking versus recognizing that there's room for gray here. So how can people learn more about VO Atlanta?
If they visit voatlanta.me, that's the website for us and has a lot of information there. And then people who can't even attend the conference, they can virtually attend, basically, through voatlanta.tv.
I am going for the first time. All of my core group of students, they were like, we're going to go. And I was like, all right, I'm going. I've got to check this out. So I will get to meet you hopefully in person. I know you're going to be really busy. But like I said, I'm excited and I truly appreciate you taking the time to talk about yourself and VO Atlanta.
Thank you. See you there.
Stories from the VO Booth is produced at Lotus Productions in New York. Special thanks to producer and editor, Sam Ufret. Stay tuned next week for episode 14, where I'm talking with producer Lori White. Lori's been in the industry for over 25 years and is going to share about the shifts she's seen in the broadcast industry, what she thinks makes a VO talent stand out, and more. And a reminder, you're invited to take part in my free 5-day VO challenge. Go to tinazaremba.com/challenge to learn more and sign up. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.